How many of you are citizens of the United States of America? We have some illegal aliens here. How many are glad to be citizens of the United States of America?
Yes.
Amen. How many have served our nation in its armed forces? Several. Look, wow. God bless you. Amen. By the way, it was nice to have Randy, one of our newest members, help us with communion this morning. Thank you, Randy. Praise the Lord. They drive every Sunday all the way from Falling Waters, West Virginia, to be with us in church. Wow, that's neat. I like, praise the Lord. How many know that as citizens of the United States, we have obligations to our country? How many of you are dual citizens? Dual, that means you belong to two different countries. You didn't know I was, did you? Some of you don't know that you are. How many belong to Jesus' country? God's kingdom. That makes you a citizen of heaven then, right? Aren't you planning on going there? Amen. Well, Jesus was asked a question. My sermon this morning is on citizenship. He had these guys came to him, Herodians and Pharisees. Herodians believed that whoever was in power as a government, that's who you gave your obedience to, allegiance. The Pharisees were theocratic people, as was all of Israel. God started them out with a theocratic government, which meant God was in charge. So, the Pharisees believed their allegiance belonged only to God. The Herodians believed that their allegiance was to Rome. So they came to Jesus and they asked him a question. Bible says, listen to it, read it with me. The Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him, Jesus, in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money." So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "Caesar." And he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Holy Spirit, this is your word. And Master, we are about to preach your word. And I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, come. Hover over this congregation today. Anoint these feeble lips of clay to preach your word. And Lord Jesus, anoint our hearts and our ears to hear the word of God, so that we might be obedient to your word and do that which you have us to do. We pray it in your precious name. Amen. Now, these guys that came to Jesus were trying to trip him up. They feared Christ because he was going around the countryside praying for people, and hundreds of people, no doubt thousands, were being healed. And they were following Jesus wherever he went. So this was of great concern to the Sanhedrin court and the Jewish religious leaders. So they wanted to plot against him. And they asked him this question to entangle him. If he would have sided with the Herodians, that your allegiance was only to Caesar, then the people would have heard that, the Jewish people, and they would have left him. Then they would have conquered Jesus. If he would have said, "Where your allegiance is only to God," then the Herodians, who were Jewish people, but they believed in honoring the king, they would have split. And if Jesus would have said, "You worship only God, and you serve only God, and give him only your allegiance," then he would have been arrested by the Romans. But he was wise. He's the Messiah. Don't you feel good when you see through somebody? Makes me feel good. I go away and say, "Oh boy, I got them." He answered them in a way that neither one could find fault. He astounded them. He said, "Show me a coin." And so when they showed him the coin, he said, "Whose inscription is on the coin?" And they said, "Well, it's Caesar's." And he said, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but also give to God what belongs to God." I want you to recognize that if we apply this to the world that we live in today, we've got some problems on our hands, don't we? We've got a lot of countries. Where's all those flags? Yeah. A lot of countries. That means there's a lot of Christians out there living under a lot of different political regimes, a lot of different kinds of government. I've been to 40 some odd different countries. And so far in my life, and you can sense when you go into a country, there's a whole different set of rules and regulations. I remember walking across Tiananmen Square, Sister Hunt back there, and our tour group, and Linda and I, and somebody asked our tour group walking across the square, "Where's the spot where the tank ran over that guy?" Tour guide said, "What tank? What tank?" He wasn't allowed because there was policemen standing all around. There were places that picked up conversation on the poles all around. And he dare not say anything in any way that would look bad on the government. We were not allowed to take pictures of the policemen. I snuck one. Is that a word, snuck? How many know what I mean? Half of us. You realize that the people who are Christians in some of these governments can't own a Bible. It's illegal. It's illegal to sell them in the store. It's illegal to bring them in your suitcase. When I was going to China, I went to the Chinese embassy in Washington, D.C., and when they looked on my application for a visa, it said pastor, and they said no. You have to write us a letter from your church and a letter from you that you will absolutely not in any way proselytize while you are in our country. I said, I won't be handing over. I wrote a letter from the church and went upstairs to their typewriter computer and wrote it out, took it back downstairs and gave it to them. I won't be passing out any Bibles. I won't be preaching on any street corners. I didn't say I won't be sharing. You know, there's a lot of ways you can share without opening your mouth. So after the third visit to the embassy, they finally gave me a visa. All because I was a pastor of a church. But there are people that live there who are Christians. People in North Korea who are Christians. It'll cost them their life if they're found out. So how do we become citizens of governments of this world and also citizens of the kingdom of God? You and I live under the flag of the United States of America. So we give our allegiance to our country by pledging allegiance to Old Glory. By standing in honor with our hands over our hearts while they're playing the national anthem. I was out to the Monster Truck Show. Randy was running his car out there. I went out to watch. And it was pouring rain. I was covered up in a, what do you call those plastic rain gear? Poncho. But let me tell you what, when they started playing the national anthem, I watched as all the thousands of people stood to their feet. And I look around. And I saw most of them had their hand over their heart. A young lady beside me, I wanted to punch her so bad. Over your heart. Pledge allegiance to this great nation. I'm glad I live here. I'm glad God has given me the privilege and the opportunity to be an American citizen. I appreciate the blood and the sacrifice that men and women have made down through the years to give us this liberty and give us this freedom. And I appreciate the people that are in the service today and being in Afghanistan and different places. And I'll stand to attention anytime. So I pledge allegiance, not only by standing for the national anthem and placing my hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to this country by paying my taxes. I know some of us, when we pay, we write out that check and we say, grumble, grumble, grumble. And I don't like the way they spend it all the time. But I'm glad I can share with my neighbor the well-being and the upkeep. I won't go into all the grumbles. I pledge allegiance to this country by voting every time. Sometimes I grumble about that too. But how is it that Christians from not only America, but around the world in different nations and under different governments. How can they be a true citizen with allegiance to their country and their government as well as a citizen giving allegiance to heaven? Jesus declares a distinction between earthly and heavenly citizenship. There is something which belongs to Caesar and earthly citizenship. Amen? Whichever nation you live in, you need to pay homage and honor to those who are in control and those who are in charge. That's what Jesus said when he looked at the coin and he said, whose inscription? They said, Caesar's. Then he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. He forced the Pharisees to admit that some things belong to earthly power. Listen to what the apostle said in Romans chapter 13. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. For your authority comes from God. For all authority comes from God. How many know the Bible says he puts up whom he will and he takes down whom he will? And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Not my vote, but by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And they will be punished. You know where all the countries I've been in and all the ones I've read about and talked about and what have you, it's still illegal to kill somebody. It's illegal to steal from people. I've not been in a country yet says it's all right to take anything you want. They all have laws and regulations to help people and to be with people and to keep order and to have policing so that the robbers and the stealers and the murderers are not at free will. This is the kind of authority God is talking about. Authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. When I was walking across Tiananmen Square, I wasn't a bit afraid of any of the soldiers out there. I didn't do anything to upset them. I didn't walk across there and say, yeah, USA! I knew better. And I didn't walk up to any of them and smack them along the face. No way! I'd have been in the hoosegow. You go into another country under another government, you live by their rules and their regulations that are there because God has given them authority. The authorities are God's servants, sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. If you're going down 81 or on West East on 70 and you're doing 90, 95 and 100, let me tell you, if he stops you, I'm going to say, soak him! They're under the authority of God to keep the law and keep the... I almost pointed my finger. Now, live by the law, live by the rules. Whatever country you're in, live under their rules and regulations, and you don't have to be afraid, God says. For government workers need to be paid. We need to pay our taxes, he said. And we get services from them. How many have water to drink? How many have a card, or you got the permits and the license and all of that, regulations to keep everything in order, and so we reap the rewards. So we need to pay honor. He revealed a very important truth for believers of all time. We have double citizenship. They are citizens of, we are citizens of this earth in whatever government we're under, but we are also citizens of heaven. We receive the benefits of heaven as well. For Jesus said, if we are His people, then we are citizens of heaven. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God's. Amen? There we are to, as believers, to pay our due share to both Caesar, or to our government, and to God. You remember a fellow by the name of Daniel? Daniel was a Jewish boy. He was a Hebrew boy. And he was living at home and just enjoying life. Wise young fellow, but here come these foreigners in, and they took over his country. They came in and took over everything. They stole the stuff that belonged to the Hebrew people, and they took a lot of those people, the ones that was viable for them, as slaves, and took them back to their nation. And Daniel was one of them. He was ripped away from his home, ripped away from his government, ripped away from everything he grew up in, and was transported to another nation to live under a pagan heathen government. But guess what? He was obedient to their laws. And he rose in power to be next to the king. How about that for a Christian boy? Huh? He gave his obedience to the government he was under. He applied himself. He was faithful and true to God. You remember that story? He went home three times a day, opened the window toward Jerusalem, and prayed to Jehovah. Very faithful to his God. He believed in his God. He didn't give up his belief in God. He was a citizen of heaven as well as a citizen of that pagan government. But as he honored God and honored that pagan government to abide by its rules and regulations, they honored him. And even in a heathen nation, he rose to power and was one of the rulers of that government. Now that's an example of how to live even under a pagan government and still trust in God. There is something which belongs to God as heavenly citizens. Christ was just as brilliant in dealing with the Herodians and their false concept of citizenship. The Herodians not only subjected religion to the state, but they were worldly minded and denied much of the supernatural, including life after death and the spiritual dimension of being. So Jesus taught them both. You obey both the government you're in and you obey God. All men receive the benefits. I'm skipping the next several slides there. Going right on to another point. When we obey God, God blesses us. Now there's another example of three boys who was also carried out of their home country with Daniel. And they were carried into this heathen nation they had to live under. And the king made a decree one day. The king said, we're going to build this big image of me. And everybody, when the trumpet sounds, everybody everybody has to bow down and worship that image. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a little parley. Shadrach said to Abednego, "What do you think?" Abednego said to Meshach, "I think like Meshach thinks. I think Meshach, Abednego, and Shamgar, whatever, Shamrach." You caught that, didn't you, huh? Shamrach, I think we need to just, we belong to God. And when that trumpet sounds, we are going to show our allegiance to God. And this is an example for any Christian who lives under any government. When the government requires you to bow and bend to their heathenism and not give allegiance to God, then you remain faithful to God. And when the trumpet blew and the king looked out over all of the congregation, everybody was bowed, but he got his binoculars. Who's those three guys way back there? Sent the word out. The soldiers went over and got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know what's going to happen, don't you? Because you wouldn't bow and you wouldn't bend. We're going to throw you into the fiery furnace. And they said, "Help yourselves, boys. Our God is with us. And we're going to serve our God rather than the king." He comes first. And if we perish, we perish. Didn't they say that? So those who are Christians in any other government, if it's wrong for them to serve God, if it's wrong for them to live for God, and their allegiance is to the God of heaven, then if there are consequences to their service and allegiance to God, so be it. God comes first. You know the story. We're not bending. We're not bowing. And they threw them in. Made it seven times hotter. So hot that the soldiers that threw them in fell dead. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's walking around in there. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! I feel the fire, don't you? Amen. I feel another fire. And Shadrach looked at Abednego and Shadrach. Who's that guy with the axe? The Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. That's the Lord. He has come. He's come all the way down from heaven to be with us. And the old king is way up high looking down his head. Who's the fourth guy walking around? That is their king. And then the king had to bow to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Somebody say praise the Lord. I tell you what, you stand for God. You give your allegiance to the Lord. You give your allegiance to heaven, where you are a citizen as well. And God will take care of you regardless of the circumstances. Amen. You are dual citizens. The truth that Christ covers in this passage is just what he says. Two citizenships, an earthly and a heavenly. A man is to be a good citizen of both of them. The Apostle Peter said this under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. As I close, fear God and honor the King. Amen. 12 o'clock on the dot. Stand with me. How many is going to be good citizens of our country? You're going to stand for the old glory. You're going to give honor and allegiance. And when the Star-Spangled Banner is played, you're going to stand up and put your hand over your heart. Or if I'm standing beside you, I might punch you. You're going to give allegiance. We're going to live by the rules and the regulations. And we're also going to live by the rules and regulations and give our allegiance to God Almighty. He comes first.
Amen.
Let's say this, Psalm 19:14, before we leave. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.